I have called this rather long series of messages from the Psalms of glory, and they have been out of this wonderful section of our Bible that speaks to the heart in so many ways. And it's not just about worship, of course. It's dealing with how God gives us grace and helps us through our miseries and our struggles, and He is glorified in that. And certainly we find a lot of His glory spoken of in the 100th Psalm. So after I pray, I'll read this Psalm, and then I'll make a few remarks about it. Heavenly Father, this is Your day that You have made and ordained this day for worship. This is Your special day. And may Your people regard it as such, that this is a different day from the rest of the 6 days. But on this day, it is our particular attention to give You worship and glory. Help us, O Lord, to truly honor You, that You would send Your convicting Holy Spirit to our hearts on this wonderful subject of worshiping You. I pray, O Lord, that this preacher would diminish, that Your word would come clearly through, that Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who is our intercessor at the Father's right hand, that He would be glorified and increase, and this preacher decrease. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A psalm for thanksgiving, it says in the title. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. God bless His word for us today. I don't know if you have noticed in the last years, several years, that they have updated our currency. Have you noticed that? It looks different. Now, this is about as big a bill as you're going to find in a preacher's wallet. This is a $20 bill, but you'll notice it's different. They even have things hidden inside the bills. Why do they go to so much trouble, so much incredible trouble, to print these bills? Well, you and I know that technology has advanced, and the counterfeiters are getting better and better at faking our currency. And so they've had to update the technology to make it very difficult for counterfeiters. Now, contrast to that, there are some things that just cannot be faked, that cannot be counterfeited. And I want to think of two of them, and they're both in this psalm. One of them is worship, and the other one is joy. Now, on the outside, you can look like you're doing both those things, both worshiping God and having joy. But in the heart, they cannot be counterfeited, because it is a relational thing with God. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. What about your worship? Is it vibrant, alive, joyful, true reverence and awe, lifting up His greatness in worship and praise and thanksgiving and commitment? And what about joy? True joy. I'm not talking about happiness. As you know, and you've heard messages and sermons about this, happiness is different from joy. I mean, if you give my dog a bowl of food, he's happy. But joy is a far different quality, isn't it? Oh, there's so many sounds of joy for me that bring joy to my heart. The laughter of my wife, Kay. The giggle of my granddaughters, Grace and Abby. When I used to live in Atlanta serving mission to the world, one time my daughter Hunter was visiting with Grace, our older granddaughter. She was about 3. And as I drove Hunter to the airport, it's a long drive. Anybody that's gone to the Atlanta airport knows the trauma of all the traffic and all. And they were sitting in the back seat. And Grace just started crying, just threw a fit. And Hunter started to sing to her. And that remembrance of my daughter singing to her daughter is joyful for me. It just brings a special work of God's grace. And y'all have experienced joys at birth, at victories, at healings and rescues, of reconciliations, people that are fighting and bickering and having trouble getting along. And then God wondrously works reconciliation. You know that taste of that joy. Well, we are to worship God with joyful singing. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. I don't know why people are so ignorant of God when God has so clearly spoken. You know, if you meet the guy on the street that's not a churchgoer, that's not a Christian, they'll probably complain about the listlessness of life and I don't know what to do and I don't know where it's going. Well, you know, God has told us, hasn't He? He has spoken, and He's spoken really clear. Even though he was not a believer, I do quote Mark Twain often, because Mark Twain said, you know, some people complain about the parts of the Bible they can't understand. My problem is the parts that I do understand. For example, this verse. There is only one name given among men by which we might be saved. Now, what part of that don't you understand? There's only one name given among men by which we might be saved, and His name is Jesus Christ. Well, I think the Psalms are God's prescription for today's world. Just like in the ages past, if men will turn to this wonderful book right in the middle of their Bibles called the Book of Psalms, it will speak to your heart. It will give you nourishment to your dry, lonely, sad heart. And so that you can obey the commands in Psalm 10 with the sincerity of your believer's heart because of the grace of God in Christ. Here we have in the 100th Psalm a call to worship and joy, but it is also a call to life. God's glory in all things. Now, this is easy to preach. Calvin, I know, would appreciate being able to preach this because this falls into an easy sermon. What I have done is separate the commands from the explanation. Now, the commands are in verses 1 through 4. And the explanation is in verse 5. We first have the call to worship with joy. Now, there are 7 imperatives here. Take your pencils out. You don't have to mark in your own Bible if you don't want to do that. You can mark in the one I got written in the order of worship and circle the commands. Maybe this will help you to see God is commanding you here from His Word. Shout joyfully. That's 1. Serve the Lord, 2. Come before Him, that's 3. Know that the Lord is God, 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, 5. Give thanks to Him, 6. And bless His name, that's number 7. So let's go through these. First, I think He is telling us, you can't fake this, worshipers. To shout joyfully, you have to be joyful. Make a joyful noise is the way the King James says. And this is for all you men who have a difficult time singing. He doesn't say make a beautiful melody to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Did you remember grade school? And the kid that couldn't sing, they gave him the sticks. You know, the triangle. You remember that? I don't know. Maybe they don't do that anymore. Every kid got an instrument. You know, bang, bang, bang. Ding, 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 ding. You remember that? Make a noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout joyfully. I love the Holman translation is shout triumphantly. Oh, I don't want to remind you, but I have to. My mother's story about the end of World War II. My father was in a submarine in the South Pacific looking for Japanese shipping. And when she heard that the Japanese had surrendered, Mom said, I didn't know what to do. I was so happy and joyful. So I put your brother, Johnny was 2 years old, and beside me in the car and drove around downtown Kingsport honking my horn. Now, why can't we have joy like that? Shout joyfully all the world. You cannot fake this. This has to be of yourself. Now, if you're not a Christian, you can't do this. Your sins will find you out and cast you away from the presence of Almighty God. Your sins will find you out. But we Christians, not because of our goodness, but because of the goodness of Christ, can say, God, save me. Thank you. I can come joyfully knowing that my sins have been carried away. Now here's what he's telling you to do in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness serving Him. Did you come into His worship anticipating, out of all the week, here is a place of gladness? I know you've got troubles. I know you've got difficulties. I do too. But did you come this morning thinking, I know there is a sanctuary of joy and gladness that I can go to each week and enter into the worship presence of God and serve Him in worship with gladness? Come before Him, it says in verse 2, with joyful singing. Approaching God with the attitude of thanks and joy. Starting with adoration and glory and thanksgiving. Really singing. Approaching God with joy. This is not an option. Well, if you feel like it. You know, don't worry about it if you don't feel like it. Joy can bubble up from a heart that's gloomy and dry because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And you can do this. Listen, you can go and grab a hold of God in prayer and say, God, I am not going to let you go until you restore to me the joy of my salvation. Because I know I can't really worship you with gladness right now because of these burdens. And God, I'm not going to let you go until you promise to bless me. And He will. And you can come and serve with gladness and come before Him with joyful singing. Now, He tells us about knowledge in verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know, you remember, guys, back a long time ago for most of us, way back when we were courting our girlfriend, our wives, we really had to kind of go out of our way to be good, didn't we? I mean, we really had to, because there was competition out there. You know, there were other guys that were interested in this beautiful young thing. And so we had to learn what was needed in that relationship that you might win her unto yourself. Well, how do you think you can worship God if you don't have a diligence about knowing Him? How can you really worship God unless you hunger to know Him better? And He has not left you in the dark. It's right here in this book. And so I believe that your joy and your quality of worship rises with your maturity of knowledge of God. Here's some things that he tells us here of who he is, and we can learn from these things. The Lord is God. There is no other. Know that the Lord himself is God. There is no one else. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, the God we worship is the God of the Bible. We can't all hold hands with the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Mormons and the others and go singing Kumbaya into the end of the night thinking that we're worshiping God. The exclusivity of our religion is what God has commanded, not what we chose to be bigots. We worship the true God, and any other worship is of great offense to him, much less to us. And so let us know God, the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and let us come with this knowledge. Is God your creator? It is he who has made us and not ourselves. It seems that man is constantly trying to create himself. As I said, through my years, I've been astonished at how omnipotent people think they are. Or omniscient, that people, mere man, puny man, that only lives 80 or 90 years and is gone. That puny man says, well, God isn't really like that. I say, why? Well, because he just wouldn't do this or he wouldn't do that. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just know that. Well, where does that come from? A man named Hitler had decided that you could classify people. And Jews were less people and killed millions of them. Sincerely killing Jews. It wasn't a matter of sincerity. But we have the advantage that God has spoken. It is he who has made us, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God knows your name. He cares about you. And he gives attention to your prayers. I don't know if you've had important phone calls in your life. Sometimes I have important phone calls and I sort of write down the things I want to say because I know that this is the only chance I'm going to get and I want to make sure I say everything right. You've ever done that? Well, can't we be precise in the way we pray and say, I need to remember who God is. I need to know him better. I need to be able to approach him. And I need to find the joy of confirming unto him his greatness. I want to be able to speak to him of his greatness. Now, the final thing you see in this verse 3 is that we are sheep of his pasture. What a wonderful picture. Sheep really needs the care of the shepherd. They are really dumb. And they wander in the bramble bushes, and they get eaten by lions and tigers and bears. But there is a shepherd with a staff and a rod to protect us and to lead us into still waters and to take us through the valley of darkness of death. There is a shepherd, and he is your shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I care for my sheep. Now, the fourth the other three commands are in verse 4. So let's look at that about worship. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Here is your duty. Here is your destiny. If you're a Christian, this will be the focus of your existence. It should be. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Approach him with thanksgiving and praise. Do you know how to do this? You've heard me say this so many times. It is a learned skill to worship God. It is something you have to understand how to do by your own ways. As I said, it can't be faked. Don't trivialize your worship. Make this hour of your week the most skilled hour of your week. Know how to do this hour better than anything else you do, for it bears the best fruit. of God's glory and your joy and gladness. Thank Him. Giving thanks to Him. How much of your worship time is gratitude? Where you can relate back during this hour what God has done. And for all of us who know God, we have to find the end of verse 4 absolutely astonishing. It is astonishing. It is a miracle. Do you see what it says? Bless His name. How can I, puny human, bless God? Wow. Well, He gave me a Stradivarius to play. He put strings on the violin and He tuned them. We tune them with our knowledge. He gives us this violin and He says, now play. Make a beautiful noise unto the Lord. Tune that violin. Be precise. Learn. Make this a way that when God hears, He's blessed. Unbelievable. Can you believe it? That you can bless God? Wow. Now, I'm going a little long here, and I'm going to go longer because of this last verse. The Scriptures almost always give you an explanation. God didn't have to do that. It's kind of like jump. And then you don't ask, do I jump? You say, oh, how do you want me to jump? Right? But He gives us three words in verse 5 that are incredible words. He gives us three of the sweetest words in all of Scripture to say who He is. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And His faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is good. Now, this is the Hebrew word tov. It means useful, of high quality, kind and good. You've probably known some Christians in your life that you'd say, you know, that was just a good man. You weren't just talking about the fact that he was, you know, walking the straight and narrow. You just said he was a good man. He was kind. He sacrificed. He would do stuff for you. He was a great neighbor. He was just a good man. This is what this word means. The Lord is good. And of course, the Scriptures say ultimately, Mark 10, verse 18, only God is good, Jesus said. And all good things flow from this good God. He says He created all things good. Praise the Lord, for God is good. The second word is this, His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, the King James translates this chesed as mercy. The Revised Standard Version uses the translation steadfast love. This is such a sweet word. This is such a hopeful word. This is covenantal love of God. The kindness of God. The grace of God. The redeeming grace of God. Something that you and I know in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, John writes this, starting at verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the redeeming sacrifice for our sins. Now the third word is down here in the end of verse 5, and is faithfulness to all generations. Interesting, King James translates this as truth endureth. The NIV uses the word continues. This word means dependability. integrity. You know the old statement, you can take that to the bank. You remember that statement? You can just trust that's true. Well, this is what this word means. It means God is faithful to all generations and all that He has said and pronounced. And God can be leaned on and can be counted on and can be depended upon. And God never changes. He is faithful. Think about now, here's a ministry to you from God's Word. Go back and look at all the promises that God makes in the Scriptures. And remember this quality about God. If He made a promise, He is faithful to keep His promises. Here is truth that blesses us and gives us worship and joy. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. So, people of God, I would call on you to heed the Word of God here, to break out of the old wineskins in that sense. You're putting new wine of God's revelation to you, new truths, and maybe you're trying to put those new knowledge of God from His Scriptures into your old way of thinking, and it has to be broken out of, it has to be replaced. Go back to that Romans 12 passage. I'll read the first two verses again and think how radical it takes for you to truly be able to have worship and gladness and joy, the true worship. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Now listen to how he says to do it in verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't tell me you can't teach old dogs new tricks. If I have enough food, my Bob will learn anything. And just because you got white up here doesn't mean your brain's dead. You can learn new habits. Listen to this. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is." Oh, Lord, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Young people particularly ask that question. Oh, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. Or somebody's in between. Oh, I don't know what God wants. And that's, I mean, it's okay. I mean, that's all right. But look, He tells you what the will of God is right here. "That which is good, acceptable, and perfect." Is it good? Must be the will of God. Is it perfect? Must be the will of God. Is it good? That must be the will of God. Learn to worship and be transformed, and you will have joy. Well, child of God, can you this hour be comforted and have joy? Comfort and joy. I thought of that Christmas song. Comfort and joy. They go together. Do you have joy? Well, come and worship. Can you come and worship with gladness? Are you in Christ? Yes, the preachers in this pulpit are fanatics. Yes, we are. We don't think a man can be saved except by the blood of Christ. And from this pulpit, for generations, that message has gone forth. Yes, we do believe that you're lost without Christ. But yes, we do believe in the wondrous grace of Christ. If you don't know Christ, this invitation is yours today. Secondly, I'd ask, are you a graceful person? Are you a joyful person? Do you have evidence of that? And will you worship and heed God's commands here, these seven commands? Are you serving Him with gladness, with honesty in your workplace, in your duties, in your situations, and finding the Lord that has equipped you for the worship of Him through the glory that you bring to His name and all the little details of life? Are you serving Him with gladness? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? You know, I have found through the years of being a pastor, generally, the people that are grateful people are just happier. You know, The people that go out of their way, and it's not a sin to thank other people for what God did through them. You know, well, I'm not going to thank them, but God only deserves my thanks. Well, whoop-de-doo. What kind of gratitude is that? You think God's offended when you tell somebody, thank you for doing what you did to me, brother? That's nuts. All the glory should go to Him, of course, but are you grateful? Are you a thankful person? Work at it. Shame on you if you're not. Go out of your way to be thankful. Write them a note. Make a phone call. And don't expect anything back in return. Just say, I just appreciate what you did. And certainly be a gratitude to God. It gets it back in perspective if we will start our prayer time with praise and thanksgiving, and then our big needs we take to Him seem in more perspective, aren't they? Matthew Henry said about our knowledge, again, I had a sermon, look it up on the internet, I had a sermon a couple of Sunday nights ago, 10 Steps to Better Worship. I reject the idea that everything's worship. Worship is an activity. You have to learn how to do it better. We can glorify God in the way we write our checks or the way we treat our children or the way we drive down the road. But worship is a directed activity to God where you do something. Learn how to do it better. Matthew Henry said, knowledge is the mother of devotion and of all obedience. Blind sacrifice and ignorant worship will never please a seeing God. Or Charles Spurgeon said, true knowledge is the mother and the nurse of piety. Do you love God? He loves you and has shown great mercy and grace and loving kindness toward you and faithfulness to all our generations. Well, you remember the $20 bill? You can counterfeit even our currency, but you cannot counterfeit true worship and joy. Come and worship the only true God, the God who loves you. And give thanksgiving and praise to His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And His faithfulness to all generations. Father, it is a good thing that You love us so. For I know we cannot enter Your holy temple, Your holy place of worship like the Pharisee, exclaiming to all that can hear us how good we are and how worthy we are to come and worship You. We know, Lord, that's a lie because we know our sins. And so, Lord, if we tried to come on our own, carrying the things of our own life to You, we know that it is only by Your wonderful grace and kindness. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would teach us to worship You with gladness and joy, that we will come before You with singing, joyful singing, that we will kneel and bow down in Your presence in submission, and to have this great, wondrous thanksgiving and gratitude and joy as we enter Your presence. Such gladness, Lord, we need. Your people need this so badly. We have such difficulties, but Lord, we are a people set apart for Your grace and mercy. Grace us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.